I think that Elon should buy control of Apple. He's the Steve Jobs of our age. He could completely revitalize that company, and he could turn that company into a powerhouse. And that company could help power the Elon companies. And only Elon has that capability, because Apple have proved to us they can't do it.
So Larry just told me the craziest thing of all time. So I'm just going to let you go. Go.
Well, I think that Elon should buy control of Apple.
Yeah.
Simple.
Why?
I mean, apart from the obvious why not, let me tell you why. In fact, I've just had this whole colloquy with Grok, who said, "You're crazy." I said, just hear me out, I said to Grok.
Okay.
And I started this long conversation with Grok. And by the time I finished with it, Grok was very excited and enthusiastic. And so I said to Grok, "Well, why don't you write the script for today's program?" And they wrote the script.
Okay.
But basically, I mean, you're supposed to say, "What the hell are you talking about? You're crazy."
Larry, what the hell are you talking about? You're crazy. Yeah. I said that already with my first sentence.
Yeah.
I said it in a much nicer way.
Look, Apple under Jobs was about revolutionizing the world.
Yeah.
iPod, iPhone, how we connect, how we create. But since Jobs, this has been a rudderless company.
Yeah. And it's obvious.
It's just sailing on in the same course he set with, you know, iPhone updates, Apple intelligence that's nothing but a glorified Siri, which is nothing but a glorified, you know.
Yeah.
I would argue
Apple intelligence made the whole platform worse. Like, yes, it's Siri was poor, and then Apple intelligence somehow took it a step back.
And then Vision Pro bombed with less than 500,000 sold and 600,000 returned. I mean, I think there were more returns than there were sold. But basically, Apple's fat, comfortable, lazy, and rich.
Yep.
Its revenue is still huge at $400 billion a year, but innovation is stagnant. And China dependency, that's the real killer. 80 to 90% of the manufacturing is there. Yeah, they say they're moving to India, but they're not. They're just moving final assembly to India. It's still manufacturing China. They created China's leadership in electronics manufacturing from the ground up. And they've trained 28 million Chinese people to manufacture iPhones and all the other phones that they manufacture. So, I mean, they're not a dying enterprise because their product has got such enormous uptake.
Yeah.
But they're a dying enterprise in the sense that they're going to be left behind. There's no technology innovation there at all. Elon is he's the Steve Jobs of our age. He's the guy that could completely revitalize that company, and he could turn that company into a powerhouse, and that company could help power the Elon companies. It's just a win-win-win-win, because the stock is going nowhere. Other than buybacks, there's nothing buoying the stock.
Yeah.
If Elon were to buy it, the stock would double, literally double. So he wouldn't have to. So I've got this whole thesis of how he could go about buying it.
Okay.
And so
can I go through? Okay. So can I, my instant reaction based on your walkthrough?
Yeah.
Okay. So my instant reaction is, it would be like the picture that's sort of forming in my head is, this sounds to me analogous to Elon going and buying a legacy automaker. And so buying a legacy automaker would in turn, he would have to bring, he would buy the culture.
You're on the wrong track.
Okay. Why?
It's not buying a legacy automaker.
But do you understand why I'm coming at it from that perspective though?
I do.
It's the culture. Yeah.
I do. Yeah. The culture is actually not as bad as we think. at Apple. It's looking for a way to get out from under the pressure of these old men. Look, this is like a No Country for Old Men parable.
Great movie, by the way.
Great movie, and it actually applies in so many ways. Apple is being, it's being squashed. It's being, its windpipe is being closed by these old men at the top who are looking just to milk it and pay back shareholders and just keep the wheels turning.
Like Legacy Auto.
Yes, but the difference between Legacy Auto and Apple is Apple do have incredibly bright people, incredibly capable people, and incredible underlying technology that needs to be unleashed.
Okay. So then what is okay, so help me understand what sort of, and maybe okay. So help me understand why, what kind of value Apple would bring to Elon Musk or any of his endeavors by purchasing Apple.
So it's got nothing to do with the phone, it's got nothing to do with the, I'm glad you asked that question because it's the heart of my thesis.
Because, you know, in my head, I'm like, oh, this is a whole X, you know, this is a Starlink thing.
They have one thing and one thing only. You're on the right track, but you're missing the point.
Okay.
The point is not the phone or the earpods or the iPods or whatever they call those things. It's not the gizmos. It's not the manufacturing of those gizmos. The manufacturing technology sucks because it can only be made in China by hand. No. The magic of Apple is that there are a billion people with their private data in private data stores sitting on Apple's server.
Okay.
And that enables Elon to provide in the iPhone or in the new device, call it Optimus, a digital twin of 500 million people. It's the new device. It's the device of the coming century. So I can buy an Optimus, but now I can provide Optimus with my digital twin by the AI that Grok can install on my private cloud, Apple Cloud, which knows everything about me. It's got all my data for all my texts, all my emails, all my knowledge. That's the real value of Apple, which they have no clue how to turn to value because they're so scared of the privacy thing.
Whoa.
And if they go with Gemini or OpenAI or any of these companies, they expose their users to allowing those people to bleed off their data, and Apple will never do that. And that's the one thing that they really own. And Elon could bring that capability with the same ethos, privacy, and provide Grok AI to make a digital twin out of everybody. And that digital twin could then be installed in their Optimus or in their new device, whatever the device happens
their
to be.
Car.
It could be an iPhone, it could be a car, it could be Optimus, it could be whatever embodied AI, Elon figures
now
out.
Now you have me.
Now you understand.
Now you have me. Okay, all right. Holy
now
shit.
Now you understand. And now I can tell you how it can be done financially. Because, 10%.
Actually, before you do that, Larry, sorry, before you do that, I think, okay, this is interesting. One of the things that became interesting to me once I started using Grok in the car, right,
was that,
holy shit, this would be 1,000 times more helpful if it would execute on the things that I know are on my computer, that are on my phone, right?
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
You're beginning to invent now.
Okay, how can I get in?
Well, that's the whole point. How to buy Apple, because it's a $3.5 trillion company, and I've got the whole thing done. Grok said, there's no way you can do it. So Grok had the same realization you got when I explained to Grok what is the genius of the idea. Then Grok said, ah, you're right. But Grok said, how do you do that? Because it's going to cost $3.5 trillion. And, you know, Elon may be worth between $350 and $450 billion, it said, but there's no way he can fund a 3.5. Wrong, I said. Elon may only be worth, let's say, $400 billion, give or take, but his individual companies combined are worth around $2 trillion.
Yeah.
$1.5 to $2 trillion. But he could command up a $200 to $400 billion SPV on request of all his investors and the banks with whom he's aligned in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
And then Grok said, you know, you're right, because this guy, Carl Icahn, only bought 1% of the stock in 2013 and forced Apple to do a buyback. And so Grok said, I think you're right. I think that combining the liquidity and creditworthiness of his underlying companies together with his ability to raise an SPV.
Yeah.
And his banking relationships. Remember, he now has JP Morgan Chase as his best buddy.
Yeah.
And there's no bigger bank on earth. Well, there is bigger banks in China, to be honest, but there's no bigger credit monster than JP Morgan Chase in dollars.
Yeah.
And so he could swing control of Apple.
Thank you to the sponsor of this podcast, Rebellion Air. Now, we know a lot of you are Tesla fans, and especially Tesla investors. And if you have more than $1 million of Tesla stock, Rebellion Air could be the perfect fit for you. Rebellion Air is an investment firm that helps Tesla investors reach their financial goals. They do this by helping you plan for your future, and they also institute strategies like trimming and adding, covered calls, etc. So if you're somebody who believes that Tesla has long-term potential, these kinds of strategies could maximize the number of shares you have by the time Tesla reaches those goals. And the guys at Rebellion Air do this by doing so much research on the Tesla story, and they do a lot of novel research as well. Things like doing cross-country full self-driving trips to really gauge and truly understand the capability of that specific software. They've done really novel research around the energy side of the business and other parts of the business as well. And so instead of dealing with a typical investment firm that may give you the cold shoulder by viewing your investment as too risky, the guys at Rebellion Air will help you reach your goals while fully understanding the Tesla story. And so if you're a Tesla investor and you have more than $1 million of shares, and you're interested in finding out more about Rebellion Air, I have a link for you in the description in the comment section below. You can go to rebellionair.com/Farzad, and that's how they'll know that we sent you. And now back to the podcast. Wow. And so you're not saying, so you're saying just taking some sort of a significant percentage. So similar to the Twitter acquisition, right? Where initially he took a 10% and then he went, or are you thinking about it differently?
No, there's a big difference here. So if you look at Apple as a public company, how do you get control of Apple as a public company? Somewhere between 5 and 10% of Apple controls the board. As long as you have sufficient alliances with institutional owners.
Got it.
So if you take Blackstone, Vanguard, Fidelity, Blackstone and Fidelity between them, plus JP Morgan Chase and Goldman and Morgan Stanley, you probably have, if you buy 10%, you have an overwhelming vote on your side. So taking control of a company the size of Apple with the spread of equity is not like taking control of Twitter. Taking control of Twitter, you needed 51%, period.
Yeah.
But taking control of Apple, I surmise that 10% will do
the
trick.
Should be enough. And that's because so for the layman, so maybe the person that, which is going to be a huge majority of the audience, because very few people have insight into how these things work and the sort of in like behind the scenes, the conclusion here is that even though you may not have 51% of Apple, given who you're partnering with and how and how everybody's sort of on the same page, enough of skin in the game will get everyone else to be like, okay, you know, that's the right way to go. Let's go that way. And then so you, it's kind of like you buy a big enough slice so you can have the biggest piece of the pie, even though it's not the majority piece of the pie, but that biggest piece of the pie gives you the ability to really influence the direction of the company. Is that fair?
More than influence. A company of that size, 10% pretty much controls. I mean, control of the board is important, but I think that if you control, look what Icon was able to do with 1%. I think if Tesla, SpaceX, Neuralink, XAI, each stretch their own balance sheets because they're all liquid. I mean, the only difference, the only one that is not highly liquid and with a surfeit of money is perhaps XAI.
Yeah.
And that's a special case. But if you take the credit worthiness of those four companies and they buy in, and then you take the credit worthiness of Elon and he buys in, and then you get an SPV created with and your banks will bridge you, you've got enough money to buy 10% of that company. And then with 10% of that company, you control that company.
Wow. Wow. So what? Walk me through complexities. So let's say this happens, right? Mm-hmm. What happens to the whole variable where the reality is most of the manufacturing is in China? How does that even matter?
Yeah, so you know, here's a whole colloquy between Grok and I. Look, the problem about manufacturing in China is little hands making very, 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 you know,
fine movements.
We have to automate that. We have to automate that. They've already automated a fair degree of it in China. It's just that the Chinese willingness to invest dollars and the Chinese willingness to actually do the hard work of building the manufacturing line and perfecting it just, you know, is far greater than any other country has been able to do. You can automate that. Elon could make that happen. And I believe Elon could move manufacturing to Europe and to the United States as nobody else could. You know, they're trying to move manufacturing to India. All they're doing is final assembly right now in India.
Yeah.
And even that they're struggling with.
But don't you think the Chinese government, the CCP, is going to then punish Tesla if he actually tries to move?
No, they're going to continue manufacturing in China for China. Exactly what they did with Tesla.
He'll grow the pie.
Exactly right. Can you imagine if he were to create this kind of capability with all the security around it of the digital ID for each individual? I mean, think about it.
I mean, literally, this whole time, I mean, my wife and I have this conversation all the time. I'm looking at my iPhone, and then I'm looking at things like Grok, ChatGPT, and I'm looking at my Mac. And I'm like, why? Where is this AI layer? Like, why can't I just talk to my computer?
Bingo.
And just have it do the things that I want it to do. Why do I have to click on things?
And why do I have to use Manus or Grok or ChatGPT? Why do I have to use these agents? And so, why doesn't the computer just know and do these things? I mean, just building these scripts, you know, I had this whole long conversation with Grok this morning. And then I had to print these scripts out for you to read and for me to tell you this. I mean, it's like call up this and call that and then tell Grok to do, then download and blah. What kind of world do we live in?
Yeah.
This is like living in the 20th century instead of the 21st century or the 22nd century. And Elon, you know, Elon is the world's greatest product manager.
Yeah.
He would take the combination of his companies and Apple. Look, Apple tried to do the Project Titan to build a car. That went nowhere. They don't have the balls to do the stuff that has to be done.
Yes.
And Elon would come in there and do it, and he has the greatest treasure on earth, and that is the private data. And as long as he continues to keep that data fully private, but provide the knowledge to actually for each individual to be able to use his own data, his or her own data, you know, he'll invent the next great device, because the next great device is not a device. The next great device is pure software.
It's
pure
an interface.
Pure interface. And and whether it's Grok in your car, or whether it's your car that has the intelligence, or your robot that has the intelligence, or for that matter, simply your, you know, device that you wear on your head that has that knowledge, you're walking, you're part of, your ethos has expanded, your world has expanded to everything you touch and do. And only Elon has that capability, because Apple have proved to us they can't do it.
They can't do it.
OpenAI has got no physical device. They have got no physical knowledge. They have no physical capability. And Microsoft just turns everything to sludge. So,
well, the Sam,
aren't
Sam and Sam Altman and Johnny Ive, aren't they partnering on an OpenAI device?
Yeah, they are, and we'll see what happens. But
yeah, but they don't have the data Apple has.
They need, and Elon could just, I mean, come on.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's such a fascinating premise, because you know it's obvious that Apple is not going to get into the actual nuts and bolts of building compute and building inference. They're going to outsource all of it, which is such a banana strategy. When that's going to be the anchor that's going to give the valuation for every tech company in the next 10 years.
And how does Johnny Ive, how does Johnny Ive create a manufacturing enterprise that can do vehicles, bots?
That's so true.
I mean,
holy shit. You
know, think about it. Elon, you've got to do this. Because, you know, what this can turn into is the cash flow for Mars. Right now, they are pissing away hundreds of billions of dollars in paying back to shareholders.
Apple
All is. That money could go to Mars.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the shareholders would love it, because the value of the shares would go through the roof.
Yeah, Apple would double. It would double.
Apple would double overnight. Double without having to do share buybacks.
Yeah.
And suddenly you've got this fount of $300 billion, $500 billion, $600 billion a year.
What's Apple's PE? Let me see.
Well, just look at their cash flow. Don't look at 36. Anything but their cash flow. That's the only thing that counts.
What was their cash flow? $200 billion?
No, it was more. Yeah, I think it. Well, you know what? I don't know. I don't remember.
Let me look.
I remember nothing these days.
What was Apple's cash flow last year? I'm asking Grok right now. It was $118 billion.
So there am I, you know, spewing away $300 billion.
$110 billion. Well, I mean, that's still a gigantic chunk of change, right? $118 billion. Okay, that's crazy. That's cash flow. $118 billion in cash flow. And what are they doing with that money?
Ask Grok how much they're paying back, they're paying their shareholders a year.
Okay, how much?
I think it's in my script. Yeah,
$77 billion during 2024.
Their cash flow is $100 billion, and they're paying back $77 billion.
Let me ask dividends and $15 billion in dividends.
They're paying away the entire profits.
I mean, that's a company that's out of ideas, obviously. Right?
So, you know, Grok raised the objection of, you know, Elon's going to have to take on all this debt or his company. And I said, yeah, it's a valid objection. But think about, you know.
The ROI is unbelievable.
I mean, it's incredible.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah. A machine like a MacBook Pro, like any computer or phone device. And here's the thing, right? Like, if you really think about it, this is such a fascinating point. There doesn't necessarily need to be a revolution in the device for the AI to be orders of magnitude more helpful than it is now. You can plug into the existing hardware suite that's out there.
Overnight. They could turbocharge the iPhone. That would be step one.
Yeah.
Now, you have to be very careful about retaining the privacy of each individual user.
You have
user.
To. Yeah, you and have
that
to do
is
that.
The key. That's the key. But yeah. Overnight, you could provide intelligence to the iPhone. Look, it's a post-iPhone paradigm, though, the major thesis. iPhone's dying. It's a saturated market. There's been no leap since 2017. You know, Optimus becomes like your AI companion. Optimus or the car becomes your AI companion. It syncs with iOS, uses Grok for on-device smarts like digital twins of the iCloud. You know, I mean, it's like, how much better can you get?
Yeah. I mean, it makes it listen, if there was a world where one could say, do you want an Apple that's run by Tim Cook or do you want an Apple that's run by Elon Musk? Right? I mean, such a no-brainer answer. The question becomes, like, how realistic is it for Elon to take that on, given that he is trying to build out XAI for AGI, build out Robotaxi, build out Optimus Robot, build out Starship, you know, and then Neuralink and Boring Company are sort of in the periphery. Like, you know, is there capacity on his plate? That's not necessarily the question, right? The question is, what is the priority list that Elon Musk has to build that Musk industry for Mars? Right. So that he can, like your point initially of, well, this is going to help him get to Mars faster and actually be able to fund Mars. That you know, it's such a wild thing to think about. But in the next 5-10 years, that's going to be the question that he needs to answer in order to make the frequent flights to Mars real. Where am I going to get the money to pay for the shipments, for the robots, for the build out on Mars, to create the campaigns for people to want to go? To, you know, all this. This is going to require a tremendous amount of money and effort. Now, one could make the argument, like let me play a little bit of devil's advocate here. If Robotaxi is successful and the human or robot is successful, the amount of cash flow Apple is going to generate is chump change. So why even do that when Tesla's already going to make the money?
Yeah, but the amount of, but Apple is going to be generating dramatically higher amounts of money when the digital twin actually comes to market. Because right now, Apple can only pump money by just pumping the price of the iPhone for no value for customers. And customers are going to stop buying new iPhones. Add in the digital twin. Add in these other products that he can do. Add in all the deletions he makes in the crap that they put in there. I mean, you'll see Apple's cash flow will double, in my judgment.
Yeah.
And so what is right now a $100 billion geezer becomes like a $200 billion geezer.
Yeah.
And Apple can bring to the Musk products. Think about Apple's phone suddenly overnight all having chips for direct
satellite communication. Yeah.
We haven't even begun to talk about that aspect of it.
Yeah.
Think about all Apple PCs, all Apple iPods, all Apple,
MacBooks.
MacBook, all becoming, you know, terminals for Starlink.
Yeah.
I mean, I couldn't even count. And, you know, Apple's margins are pretty good, but add these capabilities to it.
Yeah.
And you can see their cash flow going up from 100 to 200 billion. Plus, we'll stop paying dividends. Now, that will be tough on the shareholders and it'll be a shareholder battle, but it'll change the shareholder complexion overnight. Right now, shareholders are like, you know, Warren Buffett and other pensioners.
Yeah.
Warren Buffett is nothing but a pensioner at this point. And so all these pensioners, you know, buy it for the dividends. I mean, the share buybacks.
Yeah.
But their shares will double in value.
Over time. Once the vision.
Very shortly. I mean, you know, after he's fired the first 20,000 and he's, you know, doubled sales and visibility, I mean, yeah, it's going to happen quickly.
Yeah. You think the demand of people that would buy into an Apple with an Elon Musk at the helm, like the number of people that would buy into that Apple vastly outnumbers the number of people that want to buy into Apple as a pension fund? Would you say there is what's the ratio of people that would see a, because, you know, in my head, I'm like, okay, all those people would have already bought Tesla. All those people would have already been in SpaceX in the private market.
How many people bought into NVIDIA when NVIDIA became part of the AI world?
Yeah.
I think the argument is so compelling that Apple has lost its way that now even the pensioners beginning to understand that, you know, the gas is going to escape from the balloon.
Even Warren Buffett, didn't the last letter he sold.
He's been selling continuously. He's got less than half the stock he used to have.
Yeah. So when Warren Buffett's selling your stock, you probably are, there's probably something going on. Because
exactly.
Warren Buffett buying your stock is a sign of, hey, you are now a mature company.
Yeah.
And if he starts selling your stock, it's like, now you are a mature company that is like, okay, now you're reverse course. Yeah. Now you're going the other way, buddy, you know?
Yeah, everybody, yeah. When I tell them this idea, they say, you are frigging crazy.
It's logical.
But I think that all the pieces fit. Now, it's going to be a tough deal, and it's going to be tough to make it fit. But if I were Elon, I would buy up a couple of billion dollars worth of Apple stock quietly. Just start buying, because once this gets out into the wild, once it gets into the open, stock's going to jump 30 to 40% overnight. So even if he fails in the mission, he can make, you know, a good bunch of money. I mean, I'm talking real money. I'm not talking about 3 or 4 billion. He could make 10, 20 billion out of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Man. I mean, it is a crazy idea, but it is very logical and it makes sense. And I feel like, you know, electric vehicles were a crazy idea. Reusable rockets were. It fits that mold of, like, at first glance, it's like, this is the craziest thing I ever heard. But when you think about it, it's all on the premise that Apple has lost its way. If Apple hadn't lost its way and Apple was actually executing against the gold mine they're sitting on with their ecosystem and their hardware that is very, they're super powerful machines. They're just massively underutilized, and just
shows you the skill sets and the quality of the people at Apple. You know, there may be 30,000 people too many sitting there, but they're amazing quality of people.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, I mean, you know, as Grok says, I'm still a bit incredulous on the scale, but damn, the vision, integrating Grok to kill Siri, Optimus as the future devices, reshoring to stick it to China and Mars. It's intriguing as hell.
Yeah, it is very intriguing. If Elon watches this, let us know what you think, Elon. Drop a comment in the comment section below and make sure you like and subscribe. You know, I mean, I'm very curious to see, once this goes up on X and it gets shared, I mean, I can already see what the first 10 comments are going to look like. You know, who the fuck is this Larry guy?
every time I talk this idea, and I talked about it at TeslaCon over the weekend in Florida.
What was the reaction?
First, you're crazy. It's just nonsense. Particularly the Apple, you know, the Apple lovers out there said, ah. And I said, wait, guys, listen to me.
Yeah.
And then as they listened to me, exactly what you did. Oh, my.
Yeah. It's the AI layer. It's like, put the AI layer on the device layer that they've built. And then you have the data of every single person kept private, but supercharged to actually help them make their life better every single day. And their interface, you know, and honestly, it could be one of those things too, like over time, you know how all of us do this, like, you know, so my generation, even especially the younger generations, are just stuck, just scrolling endlessly. Like yeah. the door opens. Yeah. The door this opens for like unbelievable capability. It's like, it's
yeah, I mean,
level.
You don't have to scroll anymore. You say to Grok, what would I be interested? Just tell me what I'm interested in today. Just give yeah. me a feedback on what's happening today that I need to know about that I'm interested in.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and then just think about your Optimus knowing your intimate ideas and thoughts and, you know, being aware of them and
yeah.
paying attention to what you want to know and so on. And all of this could happen anyway without Apple. But Apple has the global franchise.
Yeah. They have decades of data.
Decades of each individual's data.
Yeah, personalized. That's so
true. And there's
true.
Nothing more powerful than that.
Well, you know who might have a head start on this, Larry? Google. Yeah.
You know, I thought about that, but here's the problem. Google's never kept people's data private. They've never really observed the privacy of people. And so I don't think that that kind of product would have the privilege of a product or have the stature of a product that had the Apple name on it.
Or the personalization even, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I do wonder like how much just, you know, having an AI that you trust, that you know it's going to be private, going through all your text messages, going through all your calls, right? I mean, that sounds crazy, but that's where we're going. You know, that's yeah. where we're going anyway. Yeah. It's like, okay, the company that's able to do that, because, you know, your device already has that information.
Yeah.
It already has. You're just putting a layer on top of it that it's not, that's not there to leak the information. That's there to actually make that information a lot more actionable. You know, it's just having like your text threads from the last few hours could become actions that you didn't even know could be actions. Or even it's like, my wife's like, hey, can you, you know, have a thing that I have to do in the backyard for the last couple of days. Right. You know, it's like, it will just do that for me. It will go call the company or send a message to the company and be like, hey, can you come out and fill this freaking hole? It's been there forever. I need somebody to come out and fill it in. You know, I don't even have to interface with the company. He'll just, hey, would you like me to reach out to the company and take care of this for you? Yes, please. Thank you very much. Like, why doesn't Apple do that now? That's the thing that drives me nuts. Why doesn't Apple do that now?
And here's the thing, Fawzat. Even if they did it and they were successful at it, it wouldn't be the product that it would be under Elon.
It's very true.
Because, you know, you have to, I mean, I can't even begin to describe the difference between them. You know, I've just bought a new Model Y.
Oh, nice.
I changed one of my Model 3s for a Model Y.
You like it?
I mean, I haven't gone.
Oh, yeah, I've gotten it yet.
I'm going to get it tomorrow. It was supposed to go today, but we're going tomorrow. And I have to say that it's like buying that car is incredible. And anybody who does it the first time can't believe that they're doing that.
You're talking about the seamless process of like just going on the website.
Just the
doing
product.
It.
Yeah. Just think about what they've done with that product. Yeah. Now, Apple under Jobs did a lot of that. But have they moved forward since then?
No.
Where have they taken this since then?
No. They're just squeezing the rock. You know, they're just squeezing the rock for every bit of profit they can get out of. Like, how do we maximize the App Store? How do we maximize the Apple Store? How do we maximize, you know, a heuristic based OS? Like, they're just squeezing it as hard as they can.
And the bulk of their money comes from that damn Apple Store. Think about it.
Yeah.
And Google Search and the search. That's where their money's coming from.
Yeah.
And so they can't do any real invention because any invention they do is going to take away from this, you know, this fount of money. Innovator's Dilemma. What a loser. What a loser.
Yeah. Well, fantastic. I mean, this was an unexpected topic that I'm very happy we talked about. And boy, is it going to make for incredible conversation. And what a banger title you've given us, Larry. Why Elon Musk Should Buy Apple. That, you know, and just the thumbnail, Elon Musk and Tim Cook. Tim Cook looking all concerned, Elon Musk looking all happy. Look at that. Look at that. Wonderful. Anything else you want to hit before?
You want another big idea?
Do you have one?
I do, but I'm going to reserve it for next round.
All right. Sounds good. All right. All right, man. Thank you, brother.
Thank you.